accomplish today would be done. We lay it all down before you, Lord. We place it at your feet. We bring it before your cross. We cast our cares upon you. And we say, Lord, have your way. We love you so much, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
Thank you. run and free, cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free. The enemy may be all around me, but I'm running free, cause you set me free.
The evidence is endless, and all my sins rolled away. Come again, he who
worship because I trust you, Lord. I sing because I love you, and I'll bring my heart, and I will lift my song. I will bring my heart, and I will lift my song.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Promise of victory. Hallelujah. Good morning, everyone. This is what I'd like to have happen. If I haven't met you, I'm Pastor Brad. Great to have you here on Mother's Day. If you're a mom, come stand right across the front right now. Move right out quickly. You would do that. If you're a mom, the rest of you may be seated after mom slips out. Stand right across the front. That song is very significant this morning, and I'm glad Pastor Debbie chose it. Come on, stand across the front here, ladies. I bring this Bible out about once a year. It's my mother's Bible. That song we just sang is based really on Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas are in prison in Philippi, and they've been beaten, and they're being held in stocks in a very difficult, in a prison, and at midnight they're beginning to worship the Lord. Their backs are raw, ripped, rats are running, and they're stuck there, and they begin to worship God, and an earthquake comes and releases their stocks and sets them free. And as a result of that the jailer becomes a Christian, and his entire family and all of his household. In the back of my mother's Bible are written these words, "Thy house shall be saved." And she quotes, and she puts down there Acts 16, 31, and 11, 14 are basically the same thing. Promise for salvation for all thy house. She was very concerned about her four sons. If she could see us now. Pray for you, Mom. But I want you to hang on to this. Praise before your breakthrough. She praised him before she saw the breakthrough. I wish she was here today to see you and meet you. She'd be in her 90s. She's not here. She's a better place, but I wish she was here to see you. I want to pray for you, Moms. Let me do that. But take a moment, just before I do this, I feel really led by the Spirit of God to do this with you. Take a moment right now. Some of you I know are in a lot of pain and difficulty, I know that. But take a moment right now, before your breakthrough, lift your voice up with me right now, and let's praise him together. God, we thank you because you're big enough. Even in our pain, even our difficulty, in our confusion, our disappointment, you're still big enough. At midnight, they worshiped you, and things suddenly changed. They couldn't have guessed how it was going to happen, but you brought a change. So, Lord, today, I've written this out because I wanted to make sure I got it right. Lord, I pray for moms whose kids are succeeding. I pray that they'll continue. I pray for moms that are struggling with kids that are dealing with physical, emotional, and learning challenges, that they'll have strength and wisdom. I pray for moms that are separated from children due to misunderstanding and poor choices, that they'll be reunited. I pray for moms whose loss of a child still pains them deeply, that they would find healing. I pray for moms that sacrifice and who still give all with little in return, that they'll be abundantly blessed. I pray for moms whose marriages could be more than they are, that it will move into a season of deep love. I pray for moms that desire but find themselves needing a closer relationship with you, that they will draw near and that you will draw near. I pray for moms that are walking through great difficulty and pain, that they'll find you close to the brokenhearted. I pray for moms that never thought that they would be single but today find themselves there, that they would find you, their provider, and their help. and the strong arm. I pray, God, today for moms that are caring for elderly parents and their own kids, that they would find your strength sufficient. I pray for women who long to be moms but who aren't, that they would find peace. And I pray that moms that stand as powerful examples of what it means to be godly women, that you'd continue to help them to stand. Take your hands, ladies. Just put them in front of you just as an indication of receptivity and response. Just simply say, today, Lord, I receive your grace and your strength. And now just lift those open hands up and just simply say, Lord, I'm going to praise you until my breakthrough comes. I'm praising you until the breakthrough comes. I'm trusting you. And Lord, just like Paul and Silas, they didn't know what was going to happen. I'm not sure they knew anything was going to happen, but they did it, and then suddenly everything changed. So radically. And you took that moment, and it has been a source of encouragement and help and strength to millions of people over 2,000 years. How could they have ever dreamed that? Thank you, Lord. We just worship you one more time, ladies. Just lift your voice. Lord, I praise you until the breakthrough comes. I praise you till the breakthrough comes. Sweetheart, can we just sing that last part of that song again? Ladies, don't move anywhere just yet. Let's just sing this last piece of that song. I'll praise you till the breakthrough comes. And then, let's sing it with me. Come on. Please act upon this. There's incredible power in it. I know you're going to see some changes. I know it. God wouldn't have asked me to do this right here with you unless he intended to bring incredible breakthrough in some of your lives. Expect it. Expect it. Hallelujah. Sing it.
He who came in power, he will come again. He who heals the sick, won't he move again? He who raised the dead, won't he raise?
This? Not just a bunch of hype, right? It's the truth. If you believe it, you can go back and be seated. If you don't, you got to stay here. I'm going to pray for you some more. Go ahead and be seated. Woo, Jessica, come on.
Good morning, church. Oh, that was a doozy, huh? That was so good. God is good. So we are at the point in service where we're going to take a moment to welcome our visitors. So church, welcome our visitors. So I know you might think a visitor is like a first-time person in here, but really we consider a visitor any person that has been here and not connected with us, right? So if you are a visitor and you haven't connected with us or met us, there are so many opportunities to do that. But the first would be to text the number behind me. So that's our texting church. It's going to bring you a form to kind of fill out so that we could kind of better know you. So make sure you do that. And even better, if you connect today, the church is going to give $10 in your name in honor of Ukraine. So make sure that you do that. I know we had a person do it last week, so we are on our way to raising some great funds for some good things over in Ukraine. So also, we have endless opportunities here. So if you have not downloaded the app, do it, because it is the easiest way to see what's happening. We have great experiences to help build boys to men. So we have pre-Ranger Fest workday coming up. You want to make sure you register for that along with Ranger Fest. We also have an opportunity to go public with your decision to follow Jesus. Water baptisms will be on June 1st. Mm-hmm. Also, can we trust the Bible? That's a good answer, church. We're going to find out why on Wednesday. And almost nothing will impact a kid like kids camp, okay? So save the dates for summer camps that are sponsored by our church district. Camps are jam-packed with team-building activities, recreational opportunities, but more importantly, spirit-led worship and powerful teaching from the Word of God. So make sure you register your kids. And last but not least, join us as we honor military and their families. Military Appreciation Sunday is May 29th. Also, all the youth will stay in service today.
Thanks, Jessica. Hey, man. Come on, Bella. Come on, join me up here. I want you to hear this story that Bella's going to tell you. And so, come on up here. Here you go. So, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of you that there are many of you that have just started your giving journey here. First-time givers, and so I esteem you and recognize you and thank you for that, and I can't wait to see how God just blesses your generosity. So thank you so much for that. It's really, really appreciated. But Bella is here because Chris was telling me, her dad was telling me a story about her and what she's been doing lately, and she's learning to tithe, give that first 10% to the Lord. And so she's learning to do that. And, you know, Bella, right after I became a Christian at 16, I started that practice and have done it now all these years. And I've seen God bless that. So tell me a little bit about what's happened to you since you started doing that.
So I've learned that it's not just the financial, but it's not just financial blessings when you give to the Lord. It can be in, like, gifts from other people or just conversations with other people. But I'll just start with the financial blessing that the Lord have been giving to me recently. So,
they're the easiest ones often to see, you know. And so you're right. There's so many things that go with that. But there's been some significant financial things. So tell us about that.
So people, the tip, oh, I'm sorry. I work at Subway. And so when I started tithing, the tips went up, like our tip cup.
So what Subway do you work at?
I work at the one on Route 12 by Henny Penny and Chipotle and over there. So what I've noticed is the tips have gone up like double. Like somebody would order one sandwich and put a 20 in there. And, like, that never happens before. And, like, the people that I work with, they're not Christian. So I'm like, guys, this is crazy. Like, I started tithing, and our tips are going up, like, 100%, 150%. Like, it's crazy. And then last week, I learned that I'll be getting a raise, which does not happen at Subway. They do not give raises ever. So I was very surprised. And, yeah.
It's great. That's awesome.
And you just bought a car.
I did.
You just bought a car. You saved up the money and bought your own car.
I did.
Now that car, I just heard this story. Is this true? I just heard the story that it needs brakes. It's a used car, it needs some brakes, right? Yeah. But something funny happened with the brakes.
So I took it to get an inspection when I first got it, and the brakes were fine before that, but then right when I drove off the lot after I got the inspection, they were squeaking and like they were being all weird. And I was
they do things, cars do things like as soon as you drive off the lot, yeah.
I was a little frustrated, but I was like, yeah, I'm going to trust the Lord, and we'll just see what happens. And I went to the prayer meeting. Was it Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday, National Day of Prayer, yeah.
And somebody was there telling me, we were talking about my brakes, and I found out that he told me that he had, for my exact car, a set of brakes, and that he would put them on for me for free. For my exact car.
Ed Miles, of course. So Ed goes, well, they're talking about the brakes. They said, well, what kind of a car is that? What's it? 2013 Ford Focus. And Ed goes, well, you know, I have a complete set of brakes for that exact car. Who does that? Except maybe Ed. And so Ed has them. He's going to put them on. Isn't that great? So, you know, anyway. Thanks, Bella. That's great. Good job. Give it up for her. Would you do that? Good job. Amen. I just wanted you to hear that. It's just, you know what? You can't, don't hurt, you hear me say this all the time, don't hurt yourself by failing to tithe and give offerings. Don't hurt yourself, because God will just bless you above and beyond that. Amen? He really will, in so many ways, he responds to that. So anyway, glory to God. You know, this is how we give around here. There's lots of options. You can go the old school with an envelope at one of the little giving boxes, kiosks out there. You can do that. You can stop by the information center and do that, or you can go on your phone to the app, or to text in church and text, and you can do that way, or a lot of different ways to give. You can see it all up on the screen there. And so, Lord, thank you for the privilege of giving. Really isn't, I don't know if we can even call it giving, because it comes back to us. It's more like investing. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of giving in such a way that blesses your people and advances your work. Thanks, Lord, for that. And may it all be done for your glory. Amen, friends? Amen. Thank God. And again, thank you, Bella. I knew you were a little nervous, but that's great. And so I thought it was so well timed. Chris is slated today to speak, and so Chris is going to come right now. This is Bella's dad, so let me help you make the connection. Chris is a chief in the Navy. He's corpsman there at the clinic, but he's due to retire in a year or so. He's studying and about to get his credentials with the Assemblies of God as a minister. And so, you know, he's here today. Come on, Chris.
All right, thanks, Pastor Brad. Well, good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing on this fine Mother's Day morning? You know, we face a crisis in parenting today, and until we correct it, all of our efforts to prepare our children to immerse into the world and into culture are going to fail. You know, and if you're lucky, or maybe not so lucky, you may be saying to yourself, what crisis is out there? Or if, like most of us parents, you're like, yeah, I'm right in the middle of one right now. But it's interesting to me because as an, you know, overly confident 20-year-old, 20-something-year-old, there were two things in my life that I thought I was pretty confident about, right? One of those things, because I had a great set of parents, was marriage. I was like, oh, yeah, I got this thing down, right? And Pastor Brad spoke about that last week. And then the second thing was like parenting. Of course, I had great parents. They showed me how to parent. No problem. This will be easy, right? But not surprising, I'm not alone. And in fact, there was this shocking survey that I found on the internet, right? And that 85%, now that's a huge number, right? 85% of Christian parents admitted that while they acknowledged that they were responsible for their child's spiritual development, that the vast majority were not actually personally engaging in any activities that might guide their children, that might guide them into that spiritual maturity, except for taking them to church. That is shocking. That is a huge number. That is shocking. And you know, this is an eerie statistic in this all-important topic, right? This is an area of our lives that we have the greatest potential to lead and even greater potential to influence our children. Yet, it comes with a caution, right? Because if it's harnessed incorrectly, it can lead to great pain, especially when it comes from inside the walls of our homes. And we have the opportunity to fill those walls with enormous joy, right? With joy. But if we're not careful, they can also be filled with pain and unparalleled grief to the lives of our children, right? And so it's my belief that God has chosen today, Mother's Day, to break down the walls, to break down any heartache-filled homes and fill them with hope, to fill them with hope that today he's going to rebuild an even better relationship that has been fostered, right? And to foster those relationships that may have been broken into pieces, that today, that those that are disinherited or even feeling defeated that are living within those painful walls, that they will be completely restored, completely restored. And all of their hearts just filled with peace and joy and love. And so as we get started here, if you guys want to break out your preferred biblical viewing platform, and whether you want to scroll or flip, we're going to be in Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5 today. You see, Solomon, he was the wisest person who ever lived. And penned within the pages means that we should be paying attention to his words. You know, like when the teacher gives you the test answer and they're like, we need to be paying attention to what Solomon has to say. And so in Psalm 127, verse 3 through 5, children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. You know, immediately we are provided with this metaphor between that of an arrow and children. And Solomon, he was wise. He was so wise to use these word pictures. You know, we can start to see the correlation between the two. The warriors are the parents, right? The quivers is the home. And the arrow is the children. And just as the warrior would spend meticulous hours just preparing the arrows to take flight by removing the bark, by drying them, by removing those crooked spots, by sanding them, by making them balanced perfectly so that they could fly with as little resistance as possible. And now all of a sudden, your job as a parent is that of like an archer, this purposeful warrior with an extended reach. Now, don't we do the same thing as parents? Shouldn't we spend meticulous hours and time just shaping and molding and guiding and educating and preparing our children while they're still within our quiver so that they can be released into the world? So if we're to raise great kids, what is our bullseye? What is that target? What is the thing that we should be focusing on as parents? You see, Jesus, he is the ultimate bullseye. And the goal is to launch our children on a straight path right towards him. And so let's explore this for a moment. And the first thing I want to remind you guys of, especially those that are parents, especially those that have had little kids in the past or even teenagers, that children are a blessing, not a burden. Now, I know this may sometimes be a very difficult fact to really understand, especially when you're, I don't know, at the airport. At the airport, trying to go through the TSA checklist, you know, you got the pre-flight things going on, you think you got everything ready so you can just, you know, move swiftly through this dangerous zone. But yet, you have one kid who's screaming, another one that's tethered to you and he's peed his pants, and the other one's just wandering around. They don't know what they're doing. And you're just trying to wrangle them all up, right? In fact, you should probably write that down on your mirror, maybe in your car, maybe even get it tattooed on your finger, like, take a deep breath. My children are a blessing. Thank you, Lord. I mean, quite frankly, it's easy in those moments, right, for a blessing to be confused with a burden, because they are both heavy. And make no mistake about it, parenting is a weighty responsibility. And you have to be careful, too. You have to be careful what you say to other people. Because I remember I had little kids at the time, and we were out camping. They were like, you know, just before you go to school age, so really kind of on their own program. And we were on a camping vacation. We had some friends of us that were with us. And I had said, they were talking about all the vacations they got to take, right? And I was, you know, feeling a little jealous at the time. And I said something like, oh, that must be nice. Now, that was pretty inconsiderate of me, because I didn't realize that my friends couldn't have children, right? And it was at that moment that I realized that, man, that was a terrible thing to say, right? Because my kids, they really are a blessing. So don't ever forget that you've been blessed and not burdened with this tremendous responsibility, and that you are the main influencer in the lives of your children. Right? There is no relationship, there is no situation, there is no circumstance in this universe that is more influential than being given the assignment of being a parent. I mean, think about it. One day your child is going to grow up, and someday they're going to read the good book, right? Someday they're going to hear somebody preach and say that God is a father and that God has the heart of a mother. And this is the kind of imagery that God wants to invoke in us when we think of who he is, that he has both the heart of a mother, and the love and sacrifice of a father. And you know, before we go any further, let's just give one more round of applause to all the moms out there, because they have a hard job. You know, at the end of the day, your child is either going to get an accurate picture of God's love with ease because of you, or with great difficulty in spite of you. And that's your choice, the things you do. So friends, I don't know about you, but any of the parents here, I'm really like, whoa, this is kind of weighty. I thought we were getting a light and airy sermon today. But that's really something that we should really be thinking about. It should almost make us tremble as we think about the responsibility of being a parent. That you and I, that we represent God to our children. You see, the heavier a blessing is, the stronger you need to be to carry it, right? The more faith that's needed to see it for what it is. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul tells us, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. You know, if you look at the job of parenting without the lens of faith, it's easy to see a life that's just full of problems and burden and expenses. All you see and all you feel are the aspects of that burden. However, if you look at it through this lens of faith, if you look at it with faith instead of problems, it just becomes so clear and magnificent. When you do that, you see that what you're doing has this eternal impact of what's possible. You will see the problems that are here and now as temporary. You'll see that all the hard things that seem to last forever, such as potty training, are really kind of over in such a quick amount, right? And then before you know it, your child is like got their license. You watch them drive away in a car, and that's terrifying, right? There's going to be a time when that little baby that's sitting on the counter letting you brush their little teeth while you're, you know, singing them the ABCs, it's going to go away, right? So enjoy it all, and don't miss the real beauty of all that mess, because the blessings are all around you. They surround you, even in the difficult times. You see, children, they bear the image of God, and it's been entrusted to your care, to your care. And they are full of potential blessings. So make sure you're looking at them through the lens of faith. You know, earlier we had referred to Solomon and how he said children are like arrows. Here's the thing you need to know. There are so many different kinds of arrows out there. So many different kinds of arrows. But only one target, only one bullseye. And as I was preparing this message, I did a quick, you know, search on the interweb there of Cabela's, and apparently there are about 53 different types of arrows and limitless combinations of materials, feathers, tips, unlimited potential. And I know all the hunters in here were like, yep, there sure is, and it's awesome. But so if children are like arrows, and there are all these different kinds of arrows, and everyone's different, and your arrows in your quiver, they're different than my arrows in my quiver, right? And even the differences of kids within your own quiver or your own family, their temperaments are so different, right? And their personalities are so unique. Some are very standoffish. They can be maybe labeled as difficult, right? Some are very, very shy around strangers. And then some they're just like the neighborhood socialite, right? All of the neighbors are at your house because they have invited them all in. And, you know, some are going to grow up to be nurses. Some are going to grow up to be engineers. Some have passion for sports. Some have passion for arts. And I'm sure you can undoubtedly agree that every arrow is unique. And no arrow should be like the other arrow, and that's a great thing. In fact, that's a God thing. And regardless of how different each arrow is, however, there still only remains one target, right? The purpose of every arrow, regardless of its difference, is meant to achieve the same thing. It's meant to hit the bullseye. It's meant to go in its intended destination. So if that's true, if there are all these sorts of arrows out there, we shouldn't pressure all of our kids or all our arrows to be an exact replica of one another. I mean, I know when I was growing up, I was telling my parents, like, don't compare me to my sister. Like, I'm a different person. Right? But what's important is that there is only one target, and we should be focused not on the kind of arrow that they are, but they are made strong enough, that they are knowledgeable enough to get to the intended target. So here we are, right? We've now arrived at what is the proverbial million-dollar question. What's at the center of the target? What is the bullseye that we should be aiming for? And how are we shaping and influencing the arrows that are within our quiver? You know, let's explore what Jesus said so we can follow that guide. We can see the flight and influence of that direction. You see, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You know, he continued in Matthew 22, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, they even gave us marching orders in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the most important aspect, the most important priority for parents guiding a variety of different arrows would not be that they are all the same, but that they all come to know Jesus, that they have a relationship with the Most High, and that they're launched into the world to bring the good news of the gospel to everyone that they encounter. That they would come to know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. There is nothing, nothing more important in life than that. We must seek our greatest goal in parenting to be launching our arrows, our kids straight enough and strong enough that they can find and trust and know Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we influence them? How do we influence the children in our lives through these everyday actions? You know, Joshua said, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We define success in this way, by seeking the kingdom of God first. Seeking first to have a relationship with the Most High. So friends, I gotta ask you, I have to ask you, is that your first priority? Now you're gonna have to finish this sentence for yourself. You're gonna have to examine your priorities for yourself. How would you answer this question? For me and my house, ... Whether some would articulate it quite so honestly or not is another story, but for the reality, our lives effectively state, as for me and my house, we will play basketball. As for me and my house, we will play softball, because priority is oriented around that. We will drag our family around the state. We will pull our family out of church to go to some sporting event. But I do have to ask you, will it be worth it looking back at the time that God gave you, glorifying God and missing moments to shape and influence your children because you went to a basketball game? Right? You have the opportunity, the blessing, the responsibility to shape the trajectory of their eternity by the things you do every day. Is this your house? For me and my house, we will achieve a 4.0 GPA. For me and my house, we will take over the family business, regardless of what God called us to do. Now, don't make a mistake. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with basketball. In fact, I love baseball. There's nothing wrong with gymnastics. There's nothing wrong with passion for medicine, if that's what God has called your life to be. You know, here's something else to keep in mind. I like using word pictures too, right? The solar system, it only has one sun. So don't make the tragic mistake of trying to make what's meant only for the sun, right? Don't make the tragic mistake of putting a planet in the sun's spot. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all those other planets, they can, you know, orbit around as long as they don't interfere with the sun. Because it might throw you off course into a direction you weren't supposed to go in. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Many different kinds of arrows, one target. You know, and I love the quote, I love this quote by C.S. Lewis, "Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at the earth and you'll get neither." Keep your eye on the bullseye. Keep yourself fixed on the Son of Man. You know, what I love about Psalm 127 and the arrows as a metaphor for children is that one arrow extends your reach, right? Arrows can go where the archer cannot go, or maybe where the archer shouldn't go. Think of it. Think of it in a battle when you aim, right? You like pull back and you aim an arrow up at a wall. It would be impossible to climb that wall, but you can shoot that arrow as your proxy. You can shoot an arrow down. You can even shoot it down when there's a treacherous hill that you can't go down. The beauty of an arrow is that it can reach heights that you never could. And I submit that God wants us to have this kind of radical faith in Him, a faith filled with the belief as we look at this next generation, that by God's grace, that through His strength, that they're going to go places that we ourselves wouldn't or couldn't or shouldn't go. Because they are going to have our experience. They are going to have our strength. They are going to have our prayers. They are going to have our love. They are going to have our support, guiding them into the heights that God wants them to reach. You know, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Jesus so we can do the things He planned for us. The things that He planned for us. I wonder what would happen to our children. I wonder what future generations would be like if we raised our children from this point, steeped in an atmosphere of faith, where their parents' words and your words, your prayers, and everything about the air surrounding them was turbocharged with this radical expression and great things that God was going to do. That he was going to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask for or anything we could even imagine. I mean, how amazing would that be? What would happen for those kids if you prayed for them, if you stood on that promise and prayed for them like Pastor Brad's mom prayed for his family? You know, in fact, all the kids stand up. I know the youth are in here. I know you're afraid. You're like, oh God, he's calling me out. Stand up. Come on, Reagan. Stand up. Think for a moment what happens when you believe that you, parents, are stewarding a son or a daughter of the King of Kings. One who was brought into this world, into this kingdom for such a time as this. That they, look around, that they are going to be the difference. They're going to make their mark for Jesus. They're going to shake the ground. They are going to rattle sin. They're going to be drawn to Christ and model Christ to their friends, to their neighbors. They are going to be people of influence. All right, you guys can sit back down. I embarrassed you long ago. When you believe that you are raising someone as the head and not the tail, a leader and not a follower, these awesome kids are going to be difference makers. They're going to model that love, and they're going to be that bright light that shines on the city. It changes everything. It changes everything, doesn't it? You know, arrows, they extend your reach. They extend your reach, but here's the kicker. They can't know how to do that unless you tell them. So you have to talk to them. You have to talk to them all the time. You have to talk to them when they're at home. You have to talk to them when you're on the road. You have to talk to them when they go to bed. You have to talk to them when they get up. You have to seize every single opportunity in their life to be teaching them. You know, Proverbs 20, verse 15 says, "Wise words are more valuable than much gold and many rubies. Riches are the one thing, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." They can get more money. They can always get more money. But they can't get what you're called to teach them if you don't teach them. There is a reason that you were blessed with the children that you have. So don't ever lose sight of that. And if you don't teach them the knowledge that they need to know, they are going to go somewhere else for it. And arrows don't shoot themselves, right? So if you forfeit that right, that responsibility provided to you on subjects such as relationships, work, money, everything else, all you've done to this point is handed over your authority, you've handed over that sacred duty that God blessed you with to a gym teacher. Nothing wrong with gym teachers, right? To MTV or to some vlogger on Instagram or TikTok. Or YouTube, whose only qualification was to be able to create a password of a combination of letters and numbers. Is that who you really want teaching your kids? I know I would rather be able to stand in front of my Lord and he know that I told them versus those uncomfortable conversations that could follow like, "Dad, if you knew this, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" Because it was uncomfortable. Sorry. My bad. But listen, we all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. Even if you've failed in the past, even if you feel like a failure right now, even if you feel like, what do I have the right to tell them about because I didn't do it God's way? I did it the wrong way. I did it the wrong way. I did it the wrong way for years and years and years. But you're here right now. You're not a failure. You have the opportunity right now. This failure and freeing that comes from repentance are among the two most powerful microphones that you will ever pick up for your children. It's the biggest thing that you can teach them. Even if you don't, even if it seems like they're not listening right now, you got to keep trying. It's been said that when children are young, they do as they're told. But when they get older, they do as you do. And with two teens and a preteen, I can definitely attest to that. And I'm sure anyone else that's going through those middle school, high school years can definitely say, yep, I'm right on point with that. They do as you showed them. And they do what you did while they were around. You and your actions are clearly more powerful than your words. That is why, more than anything, the greatest gift that you can give to your kids is the gift of your presence. The gift of your presence. So keep showing up and not giving up. I know there are days like, I don't think they're listening. God knows, anyone with teenagers knows that. I know I get this feeling like the things that I say and the things that I do, they don't matter. But it's honestly our responses during those times that they'll notice most. When they're really not paying attention, they're really giving you a hard time, they're really putting you through those trials, those are the times that they're watching your actions the most. And when you slip up, they'll be the first to tell you. Your response during that trial, during that thing that they put you through, and how you react to them. But God, He has you right where you're supposed to be. He has you right there for this special and valuable and influential thing that you're doing. Mom and Dad, your kids, they don't need a perfect home. They don't need a perfect home. What they need is a home with you and God in it. Kids cannot follow what you don't show them. So take a stance, because it matters. Plant your feet and stand firm. You know, they say in archery, I'm sure all the bow hunters can attest to this, that you have to stand with your feet shoulder width apart, perpendicular from your target, planted firm, because the stance matters. So how you stand, how you plant your feet, it matters. If you want to know how to run your house, you need to live your life planted in God's house. You need to be rooted in God's word. And once you do that, your anchor has been firmly rooted. When the storms of life come, and they will come, you will be firmly rooted. You will have a firm foundation, unable to be shaken, because that anchor is held within the veil of Christ. And it's made strong through the Savior's love and sacrifice for you. You know, Solomon, he used this illustration for an example. Because arrows, they are an offensive weapon. So equip your children with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Focus on that bullseye. Focus on that mission. I mean, what are you guys waiting for? What are you waiting for? Start training for that trial right now. Plant your feet and stand firm on the Word of God. It's reliable. In fact, it's so reliable, we're going to be talking about it on this Wednesday, so make sure you guys are here. You know, you got to make that decision to raise your family in the God-designed role that you have, and that God-designed role that you have here at Seaport. Take the time to pray with your children. Take the time to pray and spend time with the Lord every day. Don't sell yourself and your family short of what God has for you because you don't go to Him. Have an abundant entrance into the kingdom and send your arrows downrange, because they were designed by Him for His purpose, for His glory. So if I could have, you know what, if I could have all the parents stand up, parents, families, we're going to be closing a little bit different today. I want to pray over the families today. Lord, let me pray a blessing for them and their families right now, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that these families, Lord, that you have put your trust in them to be parents, Lord, that they will put their full trust in you, Lord, that you have raised them up on your behalf for your glory, Lord. Lord, I pray right now that in this moment that your Spirit is moving among us, touching, healing, redeeming, restoring anything that might be broken, Lord. Lord, call us, equip us, and set our mind of the things that are above and not the things that are below, Lord. Lord, that we're able to focus on you and your eternal kingdom and not the temporary things of this world, Lord. That it's your everlasting glory that will surround us, Lord. Lord, thank you for each and every member in this congregation and those that are watching online. Together, these parents and this community, they serve you, Lord. May they stand together, shields linked, protecting each other, Lord. Whether they have kids right now or they don't. Whether they're in the middle of a crisis, Lord, or they're not. Maybe the thing that's most difficult to them right now, Lord, is not having children, Lord. Maybe that's the trial that they're in. Lord, I ask you to supernaturally comfort them. Father, we thank you that you will appear to us, Lord, that you will comfort us, Lord, in our time of need, Lord. Lord, we receive what your Spirit is going to do in and through these families, Lord. We receive it all in your name by the blood of Jesus, Lord. Amen. Amen. And like I said, we're going to do things a little differently today. So if I could have the prayer team come up. Anybody that needs prayer for anything, come up. If you want to get prayed over because you're a family, come up. We're going to play some soft music. And if you don't know Jesus, it's all right. Just know that you have the time right now. God deeply, deeply loves you. And understand that sin is that thing that keeps you from him. Believe that Jesus Christ made a way for you to enter into that kingdom. All you have to do is repent of your sins and just invite Christ into your life. And the prayer team, they'll be up here. They'll be up here to talk with you more about that. Lord, dismiss us in your great grace. May your restoration power be upon every family that walks with you this week, Lord. Amen, Lord. All right, hey, if you're a mom, don't forget to go out there and get your sweet treat. Don't give it to your kids. Don't forget to pick up your other kids. Dave, if you want to put some soft music on. I hope that we get to see you guys on Wednesday. Happy Mother's Day.
I just can't believe where my life was at. All that I know is my heart was broken. I don't ever want to go back. Hey.